Well, good evening and welcome. Merry Christmas. So good to have you here with us as we gather together to worship our great God and King, Jesus, who's come to be with us. We've got the Emery family that's going to come forward now and help us with the Advent candle lighting.
Why do we light the Advent candles?
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
What is the meaning of the lighted Christ candle?
The lighted candle is a reminder that Christ is true light, has come to the world as promised by the prophets.
What do the Gospels say about Christ?
The Gospels assure us that the true light that gives light to every man had already come into the world, though the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all that received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Let's stand together for the call to worship. Please read with me those portions in bold. Tonight we remember that the whole world lay in deep darkness for millennia. People walked in darkness without hope except for the promise given by the Maker of light. Lord God, we need your light. God is faithful to keep all his promises. He has sent us his light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Fully God and fully man, Jesus came to accomplish what no one else could do for us. We come now to worship God together. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Lord Christ, we worship you and adore you. We invite you here now with us, not because you need our invitation, but because we want to express that we desire you to be with us. We thank you that you've come, Emmanuel, God with us, that you have drawn near to us, not because of anything in us, but because of your incredible grace and mercy. And so we welcome you. We thank you for coming here and being among us, that just as you promise in your word that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in our midst. We praise you and thank you for that and ask that you would not only meet with us now, but strengthen us, encourage us, help us to love you more. We pray all these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Our first reading this evening is from Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 9. Jonathan's going to read for us verses 6 and 7.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Let's stand as we praise our God, singing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful," hymn number 208. just love having both the organ and the piano. Thank you guys so much. That's just beautiful. The scripture reading this evening from Matthew's Gospel is from chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Hear now God's holy and errant word. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's stand together as we sing, O Come, Emmanuel, hymn number 194. It's been our tradition here at First Congregational Church Woodstock to take two special offerings throughout the year that are sacrificial offerings, not for the ministry or the work of the church here, but rather that we give to our missionaries, and each time we select particular missionaries with specific needs. So this year for our Christmas Eve offering, all the monies collected today or over the next couple of weeks for folks who send that in, designated as such, will go to Bethany Burgess Camp. And I know many of you are very familiar with Bethany Burgess, but some of you may not be familiar with it at all. You'll find in your order of worship, there's a letter from the camp director explaining some of the things that they do as a camp, and their particular need is for a camp vehicle. As their primary van and catch-all vehicle that does everything, it died, and so they're needing a replacement, and so our offering will go towards a new vehicle for that purpose. But I wanted to just share with you one of the things that I've seen as a pastor through Bethany Burgess. And they're a wonderful Christian camp that has campers there during the summer, and they also do programs during the winter. But I will never forget two of our young people, two young ladies in our congregation who had been to the same week of camp over the summer, and then I got to watch them Sunday. Now, being in a church this size, of course, they already knew one another and already were very well acquainted and good friends already. But from having that week of time at camp where they were learning the scriptures together, they were reading the scriptures together, but they also just had tons of time together. They came back not just, friends and casual acquaintance at church, but as really good friends. And so then every time that they would go to Sunday school, they were building on that friendship, and they had this relationship, not only from here at church, but also at camp, but that was also feeding their relationship with Christ. And so I've seen firsthand the ministry of Bethany Burgess Camp directing and strengthening our young people, not just during a week away at the summer, but seeing that fruit come back here and have lasting effect in the lives of not only two individuals, but their families and others within the church. So I just want to encourage you, again, anything given in the sacrificial offering will go towards this new vehicle for Bethany Burgess. And again, don't feel under any obligation. This is not something that, you need to do. But if the Lord leads you, we would invite you to participate. We're not going to pass the plates for those that offering, but there's an offering box in the back, and so we'd encourage you during the offertory to put your gifts in the offering box. Let me read for us our third reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known to the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let's stand together and sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, number 203. Be seated. John's Gospel, chapter 1, reads thus: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet, the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Jonathan plays our offertory, let me encourage you again to give sacrificially in the offering box in the back, but also to take this time and pray for Bethany Burgess. Thank you.
A sign shall be given. a virgin will conceive, a human baby bearing undiminished deity. The glory of the nations, a light for all to see, and hope for all who will embrace his warm reality. Emmanuel, our God is with us. And if God is with us, who could stand against us? Our God is with us, Emmanuel. For all those who live in the shadow of death, a glorious light has dawned. For all those who stumble in the darkness, behold, your light has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us. And if God is with us, who could stand against us? Our God is with us, Emmanuel. So what shall be your answer? Or will you hear the call of him who did not spare his son, but gave him for us all? On earth there is no power, there is no depth or height, that could ever separate us from the love of God in Christ. Emmanuel, our God is with us. And if God is with us, who could stand against us? Our God is with us, Emmanuel. And if God is with us, who could stand against us? Our God is with us, Emmanuel.
Thank you. Let's stand together as we sing Joy to the World, hymn number 195.
Thank you.
may be seated. Let me read for you John's Gospel, chapter 20. This is verses 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. This is the Word of God. Thanks be to the Lord. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this day, for the remembrance of Christ's birth. And help us now as we consider these things, Lord, to look to you, to what you've revealed in your scripture, and to trust you. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As a minister, I get to officiate weddings from time to time, and it's always interesting to me to see all the dynamics of people picking different people in the wedding party and the joy and excitement of folks being able to share in such a special time in one of their loved ones' lives. And I remember one young man who was particularly terrified about speaking in public, but who was very excited for his best friend to be getting married. And when the groom asked him to be his best man, he was so excited. Yes, yeah, oh, I'm so excited. You know, to be, but then he found out what all's involved in that, and that included giving a speech in front of everybody there in the reception, and thinking, But we know, don't we, that certain jobs, certain positions have certain requirements, certain things that they involve, and those can be good and exciting things, or they can be terrifying things, but they're part of what comes with the job. With Jesus coming, it was a job that involved not just being born in a manger, right? Being in a place where there was no room for them in the inn, and all of those hardships, or even taking on human form and all of the participating in the fallenness of creation. But Jesus came not just as that babe, but to be the Christ. Now, oftentimes we hear Jesus Christ, and we can think of that almost like a last name. You know, you had Joseph Christ and Mary Christ and Jesus Christ and the Christ family, right? Well, no. Actually, Christ is a title. Like best man is a title that describes some of the things that person does. Well, Christ, likewise, is a title, and it's that title that gets pulled into what we're celebrating with Christmas. The worship service or Mass having to do with celebrating the Christ having come. But what is that? What's this whole thing about? Well, the first thing I want us to see is that this is not a tag-on or a later development or something that the disciples just made up, but rather something that we see from the very beginning of Christ's birth and his life and his ministry and his death. It's all throughout it. Matthew's gospel begins in chapter 1 with giving Jesus' genealogy, right? Explaining his heritage, who his mother and father were, and who their mothers and fathers were, and going back through the genealogy. And that's not given just as a interesting, you know, thing to bring up at coffee hours or whatever, but it was tied to this particular title of Jesus being the Christ. In Matthew 1:16 it says, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. Not only is it throughout all four Gospels, but we also find it as the central message of the apostles' preaching. So, for instance, in Acts chapter 17, verses 2 and 3, we read, Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ. In fact, all the miracles, everything about Jesus' life, his virgin birth, his healing people, his raising people from the dead, and his own resurrection from the dead, they were all recounted to support this claim that Jesus is in fact the Christ. But what is the Christ? What does that mean? The word Christ is the Greek term Christos that means anointed. Or like we find lots of times, if we use an adjective just by itself, it also is describing the one who is like this, the anointed one. It's the same as the Hebrew Messiah that also means anointed one. But what's anointed? It had to do with being anointed with oil, with having oil poured on your forehead. So the big news of Christmas is that Jesus is the oily-headed one? What does that even mean? Well, it's talking about this anointing where a person was set apart for a particular function, for a job, but much more than that, a calling. And so both the Greek Christos and the Hebrew Messiah are explaining to us why Jesus came and what it was that he came to do. Again, this is all throughout the scriptures, and particularly in the disciples as they come face to face with Jesus. In John's gospel, we find the brother coming in and finding his other brother and saying, "We have found the Messiah, the anointed one." This is how the Samaritan woman at the well describes him. "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things." Later on in that same conversation, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am who am him." Who? The Messiah, the anointed one, the one who will explain to you all things. This anointed one, the Christ, was anointed for three particular tasks. In the Hebrew scriptures, each one of them is talked about as being anointed for this special work of God. Those three offices are prophet, priest, and king. The prophet is the one who speaks the word of God, who speaks to people, "This is what the Lord has said." The priest is the one who mediates between God and humans, standing in between God and humans, mediating between them. And the king is the one that God anoints to rule over his people, not to put them under his thumb or under his foot, but rather to rule in protecting and caring for and providing for God's people. Most often in the Hebrew scriptures, where the word Messiah or Messua is used, it's the Lord's anointed, the one that the Lord has anointed for his particular task. And all three of these we find in Christ. In fact, when talking of Jesus in Luke chapter 24, it says, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." He's seen as the priest or mediator between God and man. In Hebrews, he's described, "Therefore, Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Likewise, he is called again and again King Jesus. As he goes to the cross, the sign over the cross read, 'Jesus, King of the Jews.'" That's why it's so important that we recognize what it means for Jesus to be the Christ of God, the anointed one. He alone is the only one able to deliver us from sin and death. Jesus, as the Christ, is the unique anointed one, anointed to all three of these offices. He is the prophet of God who speaks the word of God to tell us that we need rescuing. He is the priest who comes between us and reconciles us to God through his own sacrifice of his life. He is the king who rules and reigns over us and leads us out of our bondage to sin and enables us to be made right with God. I know I use that awful word, sin. We don't like that word very much, and it's not very popular or politically correct. But there's really no way for us to get around the fact that we have rebelled against God, that we need an anointed one. We need someone who can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And Jesus is that particular unique one, the anointed one, who is not only able to do that for us, but who has done that for us. So the question for the shepherds, the question for Mary and Joseph, the question of the ages has always been, Jesus is proclaimed as the Christ. Do you believe in him as such? If you do, it's not simply a, well, in my heart of hearts, I believe in him as that. But if we believe that he is, in fact, the only one who can rescue us, then he is the one that we will run to for rescue. It does you absolutely no good to have a perfect solution for the problems that you're facing and have it tucked away somewhere in your attic or your gun safe or your basement. And then when troubles come, say, oh yeah, I've got the solution for that. Well, where is it? Oh, I don't have it on me. This belief in Jesus as the Christ is what is supposed to guide us in everything that we do. Every day, moment by moment. To trust in Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah who saves, is to respond to him as the prophet, the one who speaks for God. What does that mean? That's what the Bible is. Jesus' word. So that when we're making a decision, when we're dealing with a difficulty, when we're trying to figure out what do I do, we're to go to the scripture and be directed from it how we are to live, what we are to do. That's believing in Jesus as the Christ, the anointed prophet. It also means believing in Jesus as the anointed priest. So that when I do something that God tells me in his word I'm not supposed to do, I don't run out and try to fix it or figure out a way to balance out that bad with some good. But I run to Jesus as the anointed priest and confess, Lord, I've done it again. I disbelieved you. I did what you told me I shouldn't do. That's what trusting him as the Christ, the anointed priest, means. Or when I'm seeking to do my job, to love my family, to care for my neighbor, to do any of those things, what does it mean to believe in Jesus as the Christ? It means believing in him as the anointed king, as the one who I should submit to in all of my life. King Jesus, lead me, direct me, enable me. This is what it means to trust in Jesus as the Christ. So do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ of God? In the back, there are these Christmas devotionals that are our gift to you. We'd encourage you to pick up one. They have something to read and discuss and to pray about and sing every day for the next 13 days. Christmas all the way through to January 6th. And so if you're considering, what does it mean for me to believe that Jesus is the Christ, would you start there and simply commit to pick up one of those booklets and spend 10 or 15 minutes every day reading and praying and considering those things? And come back on Sunday. Explore more. What does it mean for me to trust Jesus as the Christ? You'll find here a community of Christ followers that are messed up, that don't have it all together or even close, but who by God's grace are trying to follow Jesus as the Christ. And one of the things that we find is that Christ didn't come and just talk one-on-one with individuals and have a personal relationship with them, but nobody else. He called his disciples into a relationship, not only with him, but also with one another. So that there were 12, and then there were 70, and then there were hundreds, and then there were thousands. And he builds those relationships together as we follow him as Christ. So those are in the back, and I'd encourage you to pick one up. But let me also encourage you to not just wait for tomorrow in reading the lesson, but today, tonight, right now even, to talk to this Jesus who is the Christ. That's what prayer is. To simply say, Jesus, you say in your word that you are the Christ, the anointed one, the prophet, priest, and king. Gosh, I don't know what all that means. But if you're real, and if you really do save people from their sin, I got plenty of that and I need help. It can be as simple as telling him that and starting today with following Jesus, not just as the baby in the manger, but Jesus as the Christ of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do celebrate your arrival. You are the long-awaited Christ, the Messiah, the one promised to rescue us from our sin and death. Lord, we pray that you would help us. Help us to get over our denial. Help us to be honest with you. Lord Jesus, you are the Christ. And we humble ourselves before you and thank you for coming. And ask that you would continue to lead us and guide us. For it's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain, hymn 224.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when lo, above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, our humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you. You may be seated. This last reading may seem a little bit odd, but I want to be upfront with you in terms of what it involves in following Christ. This is from John's Gospel, chapter 7. I'll read verses 37 to 43. Now on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. When they heard these words, some of the people said, "This really is the prophet." Remember that word we talked about? Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So there was a division among the people over him. This believing in Jesus as the Christ often brings with it division. That if you say you will follow him, do not be surprised that others will object and have a greatly difficult time with you following Christ. And yet Christ says he is with us, that we can face adversity and even the world around us hating us because it hated him. Let's stand together and sing Angels from the Realms of Glory, hymn number 218. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Please be seated for a moment while we pray silently. Amen. Go in peace and Merry Christmas.